Thank you for being a valued supporter of the 10X Podcast Group. Your dedication means the world to us. Today, we bring you a gripping tale titled The Stranger in the Basement. Your continued support and subscription fuel our passion for storytelling, and we deeply appreciate every moment you spend with us. So, without further ado, let's dive into today's compelling narrative. Chapter 1, The Footsteps Below. The hum of the refrigerator filled the quiet suburban home as Emily stirred her tea in the kitchen. Outside, the wind swept brittle autumn leaves across the porch. She glanced at the clock, 10:13 p.m. James was in the living room, absorbed in the glow of the television, his laughter sporadically punctuating the silence as he watched his favorite sitcom. But Emily couldn't relax. For the past week, she had been plagued by strange noises coming from the basement, faint shuffling, the sound of something or someone moving. She'd convinced herself it was nothing, maybe the old pipes creaking as the weather changed. But tonight the sound was different. It was unmistakably the sound of footsteps. "James," Emily called, her voice tight. "Do you hear that?" "What?" he replied, barely looking away from the TV. "That noise. From the basement," he sighed, muting the TV. "You're hearing things again. It's an old house, pipes creak, floors settle." "No, this is different." She set her tea down and crossed her arms. "It sounds like someone walking around down there." James rolled his eyes but stood up, the cushions sighing as he left the couch. "Fine, I'll check it out." "But I'm telling you, there's nothing." Emily handed him the flashlight from the counter. Her stomach knotted. She followed him to the basement door, which had been painted a cheery yellow when they moved in, back when the house felt like a fresh start. Now, even the color seemed to mock her unease. James opened the door, the hinges groaning in protest. A wave of cool, damp air greeted them, carrying the faint smell of mildew. He flicked the light switch, but the basement remained cloaked in darkness. "Great," he muttered. "Bulbs out again." Emily held her breath as James descended the wooden stairs, the flashlight beam slicing through the shadows. She stood at the top of the stairs, gripping the banister, her heart pounding in her chest. "See," James called from below. "Nothing down here but—" His words cut off abruptly. "James." Emily's voice wavered. "What is it?" There was a pause, then the sound of something heavy falling to the ground. Panic surged through her, and before she could think, she rushed down the stairs, nearly tripping in her haste. At the bottom, James was frozen in place, the flashlight shaking in his hand. The beam illuminated a corner of the basement, where a pile of old boxes had been pushed aside. And crouched behind them was a man. He was gaunt and filthy, his clothes torn and caked with dirt. His eyes glinted in the light like a cornered animal's. For a moment, no one moved. Then the man lunged forward, swatting at the flashlight, and James stumbled back with a yelp. "Stay back," James shouted, his voice cracking. Emily grabbed a broom leaning against the wall and held it like a weapon, her hands trembling. "Who are you? What are you doing here?" The man didn't answer. He retreated into the shadows, his breathing ragged. "Call the police," James hissed. Emily bolted up the stairs, her fingers fumbling as she dialed. She locked the basement door behind her, leaning against it as if that could somehow keep the intruder contained. Her voice shook as she relayed the situation to the dispatcher, who assured her officers were on their way. The minutes stretched like hours until the flashing red and blue lights bathed their front yard. Two officers entered the house, guns drawn, and cautiously descended into the basement. Emily and James huddled in the living room, their ears straining to hear what was happening below. It wasn't long before the officers returned, escorting the man in handcuffs. His head hung low, his matted hair obscuring his face. Emily expected relief to wash over her, but instead, unease settled deeper in her gut. Something about the man, his silence, the way he avoided looking at them, unnerved her. "What was he doing down there?" James asked one of the officers, his voice cracking. The officer hesitated. "We'll need to conduct a thorough search of the basement. There's something unusual down there. We'll keep you updated. Emily's pulse quickened. What do you mean? What did you find? The officer exchanged a glance with his partner before answering. There's a hidden door. It looks like it leads to a tunnel system. We're bringing in a team to investigate. Emily felt the room spin around her. Tunnel. Beneath their house. What else had been hiding just beneath their feet all this time? As the police car pulled away with the stranger in the back seat, Emily stared out the window, her reflection pale against the glass. The night felt darker than ever, and for the first time, she realized their nightmare was only beginning. Chapter 2: Secrets Beneath. The morning sun offered little comfort as Emily sat at the kitchen table, staring blankly into her untouched cup of coffee. Her hands trembled, the events of the night before replaying in her mind like a warped movie reel. Across from her, James scrolled through his phone, refreshing the local newsfeed for any updates about the man they found in their basement. "Anything yet?" Emily asked, her voice barely above a whisper. James shook his head. "Not much. Just that the guy was arrested. No name, no background. They're keeping tight-lipped about the tunnels, too." He set the phone down and rubbed his temples. "I don't get it. How does a whole tunnel system go unnoticed under our house? How does something like that even happen?" Emily didn't have an answer. Instead, she glanced at the basement door, now reinforced with an additional lock they had installed at 3 a.m. Neither of them had been able to sleep after the police left. The knock at the front door startled them both. James jumped up, his chair scraping against the floor. Through the peephole, he saw two uniformed officers accompanied by a man in a plain suit carrying a clipboard. James opened the door cautiously. "Mr. and Mrs. Donovan," the man in the suit asked, his tone professional yet cautious. "Yes," James replied. "Come in." The officers entered first, scanning the house with sharp eyes, their hands resting on their holstered weapons. The man with the clipboard followed, introducing himself as Detective Marcus Hayes. "We've conducted a preliminary investigation of the tunnel system," Hayes began, flipping open his clipboard. "It's more extensive than we initially thought. It appears to run beneath several homes in this area, though the full scope is still unclear." Emily swallowed hard. What were they used for?" Hayes hesitated, choosing his words carefully. "We've found evidence that suggests the tunnels may have been used to facilitate criminal activities. Smuggling, maybe even human trafficking. And there are signs of violence." The room seemed to close in on Emily. "Violence? What do you mean?" Hayes flipped through the papers on his clipboard. "We've recovered skeletal remains in one section of the tunnels, along with personal belongings. Watches, wallets, jewelry. We're working with forensic experts to identify the remains and determine the extent of the crimes committed." James sank into a chair, his face pale. "You're saying people died down there? Beneath our house?" Hayes nodded grimly. "We believe so. And it's possible the man you found last night had been living there for some time. We're trying to determine his connection to the tunnels and whether he acted alone." Emily felt her stomach churn. "He was just living down there. Among that. It's not uncommon for individuals involved in operations like this to hide in plain sight," Hayes explained. "He may have been monitoring your home, waiting for an opportunity. Or he could be a squatter who stumbled upon the tunnels by chance." Emily's mind raced. She thought of all the nights she'd heard those faint noises and ignored them, brushing off her instincts. How long had he been watching them? "Have we been in danger this whole time?" James asked, his voice shaking. "Should we be worried now?" "We've stationed officers to monitor the area," Hayes assured them. "But I won't lie, there's still a lot we don't know. If you notice anything unusual, anything at all, call us immediately." After the officers left, Emily and James stood in the living room, overwhelmed by the weight of what they'd just learned. The cheerful, welcoming home they'd built together now felt like a prison, the secrets beneath it threatening to pull them under. "I can't stay here," Emily said finally, breaking the silence. James nodded. "We'll get a hotel for a few nights. Let the police finish their investigation. Once we know it's safe, Will it ever feel safe again? Emily snapped, her frustration and fear bubbling to the surface. There are bodies down there, James. People were murdered under our feet. How do we come back from that? James didn't have an answer. That evening, as they packed overnight bags, Emily couldn't shake the feeling that someone was watching her. She pulled the curtains tightly shut, checking the locks on the windows and doors. Every creak of the house made her jump, her imagination conjuring images of shadowy figures lurking in the corners. "Ready," James called from the living room. Emily grabbed her bag and turned off the light, casting one last glance around the bedroom before heading downstairs. But as she passed the basement door, she froze. There was a sound, soft, rhythmic, like breathing. Her heart thundered as she pressed her ear to the door. The sound stopped. She held her breath, listening intently. "Emily!" James's voice startled her. She jumped back, clutching her chest. "Did you hear that?" she whispered. "Hear what?" "Breathing. From the basement." James frowned, his face tense. "The police searched it. They cleared it. There's no one else down there. I'm telling you, I heard something." He hesitated, then shook his head. "Let's just go. We'll let the cops know in the morning." Reluctantly, Emily followed him out to the car. But as they drove away, she couldn't shake the feeling that whoever, or whatever, was in the basement wasn't finished with them yet. Chapter 3: The Tunnel's Echoes. The hotel room was quiet, save for the muted hum of the air conditioner. Emily lay in bed, staring at the popcorn-textured ceiling. The faint glow of the bedside clock read 3:17 a.m. James was snoring softly beside her, but sleep felt like an impossible task. She replayed the detective's words in her mind. Skeletal remains, smuggling, signs of violence. Didn't make sense. How could they have lived in that house for 3 years and not known something so horrific was happening below? Her thoughts were interrupted by the faint vibration of her phone on the nightstand. Emily grabbed it quickly, her pulse spiking at the unknown number on the screen. "Hello," she whispered, careful not to wake James. There was a pause, then static. A deep, guttural sound crackled through the speaker. Labored breathing. Her hand tightened on the phone, her heart racing. "Who is this?" The call disconnected. Emily sat up, her hands trembling as she stared at the phone. Was it a prank? A wrong number? Or something more sinister? She glanced at James, still sound asleep, and decided not to wake him. Instead, she texted the detective, detailing the call and asking if it could be related to the investigation. She set the phone down and leaned back against the headboard, her heart pounding in her chest. The following morning, Detective Hayes called her back. "Mrs. Donovan, we traced the call. It came from a payphone a few blocks from your house." Emily's stomach dropped. "Does that mean someone's still there? Watching us?" "We can't be sure," Hayes replied, his voice calm but firm. "But I've sent officers to check the area. In the meantime, I'd advise you to stay away from the house until we've completed our investigation." Emily thanked him and hung up, her unease growing. When she told James about the call, his face turned pale. "This is insane," he muttered. "How is this happening to us?" Later that afternoon, Hayes called again with an update. "We've made another discovery in the tunnels," he said. "There's an access point beneath your basement that leads to a larger chamber. It looks like it was used as a base of operations." "A base for what?" Emily asked, her voice shaking. Hayes hesitated. "We found evidence of surveillance equipment. Cameras, microphones, notebooks full of detailed observations. It seems whoever was using the tunnels had been monitoring multiple households in the area. Your house was one of them." Emily felt a chill run down her spine. "Why our house?" "We don't know yet. But based on the notes, it seems they were interested in patterns, when people were home, when they weren't, that sort of thing. There's no indication they intended to harm you, but—" "But what?" James interjected, his voice sharp. "We found maps," Hayes admitted. "Detailed layouts of your house and several others. It's possible they were planning something." Emily gripped the phone tightly. "You said there were signs of violence. Are you saying we could have been their next victims? Hayes didn't answer immediately. We're investigating every possibility. By evening, Emily and James couldn't stand the suffocating uncertainty. They decided to return to the house, if only to gather more of their belongings. Two officers were stationed outside when they arrived, their presence reassuring but also a stark reminder of the danger that lurked beneath the surface. Inside, the house felt cold and empty. Emily avoided looking at the basement door as she packed a suitcase with more clothes. James headed to the office to grab their important documents. As Emily zipped up the suitcase, she heard a faint creak from downstairs. Her body tensed. She stepped into the hallway and called out, "James." "Yeah," he replied from the office. She turned toward the basement door, her heart hammering. "Did you hear that?" "Hear what?" James appeared in the hallway, carrying a stack of files. Before she could respond, there was a loud crash from the basement. The sound of something heavy falling, followed by a low, guttural growl. Emily and James froze, their eyes locked in mutual fear. "That's not the house settling," James whispered. "Call the police," Emily hissed, backing away from the basement door. James pulled out his phone, but before he could dial, the door swung open with a deafening bang. Emily screamed as a figure emerged from the darkness. A man, gaunt and wild-eyed. His clothes filthy and torn. It wasn't the same man from before. "Stay back," James shouted, fumbling for something to use as a weapon. He grabbed a lamp from the side table and held it in front of him like a shield. The man didn't move. His eyes darted between Emily and James, his breathing ragged. "They'll come for you," he muttered, his voice hoarse. "They always do." "What are you talking about?" James demanded. The man didn't answer. Instead, he turned and bolted back into the basement, disappearing into the shadows. James slammed the door shut and locked it, his hands shaking. Emily clutched his arm. "What did he mean? Who's coming?" "I don't know," James said, his voice unsteady. "But we're not staying here to find out." The police arrived minutes later, sweeping the basement and the surrounding property. They found no sign of the man. The officers assured Emily and James that they would increase patrols and continue the investigation, but it did little to ease their minds. As they drove back to the hotel that night, Emily stared out the window, her thoughts racing. Whoever the man was, he wasn't acting alone. The tunnels weren't just a coincidence. They were part of something far bigger and far more dangerous. And now it seemed they were right in the middle of it. Chapter 4. A Stranger Among Us. The hotel room, once a sanctuary from their home's horrors, now felt stifling. Emily sat cross-legged on the bed, her laptop open before her. She scrolled through articles and old crime reports, desperate to find any clues about the tunnels or the men who seemed to emerge from them. "Still nothing," James asked from the small kitchenette, pouring himself a glass of water. "Just the same speculation," Emily replied, her voice heavy with frustration. "People talking about urban legends, secret societies, even government experiments. Nothing concrete." James sighed, setting the glass down on the counter. "We should let the police handle it. We're not detectives, Sim. We're just making ourselves crazy." She didn't respond. She couldn't shake the feeling that they were missing something. Some crucial detail that could explain why their house, why their neighborhood, had been targeted. Her phone buzzed on the nightstand, breaking her thoughts. It was a text from Detective Hayes. "We need to meet. Found something. Not safe to discuss over the phone." Emily showed James the message, and his face hardened. "What does he mean, not safe?" "I don't know," Emily said, grabbing her coat. "But we're going to find out." They met Hayes at a diner on the outskirts of town. The detective looked exhausted, dark circles under his eyes, and his usual professional demeanor was replaced with unease. "Thank you for meeting me," he said as they slid into the booth across from him. "What's going on?" James asked. "What did you find?" Hayes leaned in, lowering his voice. "We've identified the man who was arrested in your basement. His name is Samuel Harper. He has a history of petty crimes, trespassing, theft, but nothing that explains why he was in those tunnels or what he was doing. Emily frowned. Then why call us here? Because of what we found in the chamber beneath your basement, Hayes said, his tone grim. We uncovered a series of photos. Pictures of your house. Of you. Emily felt her stomach churn. What? They were taken from outside your home. Some are recent, but others go back years. Harper wasn't just squatting in your basement. He was watching you. James's fists clenched. Why us? What does he want? We're still trying to figure that out, Hayes admitted. But there's more. We analyzed the notebooks we found in the tunnels. They're filled with detailed observations about your routines. When you leave for work, when you come home, even when you go to bed. Emily shuddered, wrapping her arms around herself. This doesn't make sense. Why go to so much trouble just to watch us? Hayes hesitated before continuing. It's possible Harper was working for someone else. The tunnel system isn't new. It's been there for decades. We've traced its origins back to the Prohibition era, but over the years it's been repurposed. Smuggling, trafficking. And now maybe surveillance. Surveillance for what? James demanded. Hayes shook his head. We don't know yet. But whoever built those tunnels and whoever's using them now, they're not amateurs. This is organized, planned, and it's bigger than just your house. Back at the hotel, Emily and James sat in silence, the weight of Hayes's words pressing down on them. The thought that someone had been watching them for years, documenting their lives, was almost too much to bear. We need to leave, James said finally. Sell the house. Move somewhere far away from all this. Emily nodded, but deep down she knew it wasn't that simple. Even if they left, the tunnels and whoever controlled them would still be there. Hidden beneath the surface. That night, Emily couldn't sleep. She tossed and turned, haunted by the photos Hayes described. Who had taken them? Why? And why had Harper spoken those cryptic words? They'll come for you. The following morning, Emily decided to return to the house. She needed answers, and waiting in the hotel wasn't going to provide them. James protested, but she was adamant. When she arrived, the street was eerily quiet. The police patrol car stationed outside her house was gone, replaced by an unsettling emptiness. Emily hesitated at the front door, her keys trembling in her hand. Inside, the house was exactly as they'd left it, silent, cold, and filled with an oppressive sense of dread. Emily walked cautiously through the rooms, checking every corner, every shadow. Her heart raced as she approached the basement door. The lock was still intact, but the door seemed off. The wood was slightly ajar, as if someone had forced it open and then tried to conceal the damage. Hello! Emily called, her voice echoing down the dark stairwell. There was no response. She descended the stairs slowly, her flashlight cutting through the gloom. The basement was empty, but the trapdoor leading to the tunnels was wide open. A chill ran down her spine. Against her better judgment, she approached the opening. The tunnels yawned before her, their walls damp and lined with cobwebs. She thought of the photos, the notebooks, the years of surveillance, and Harper's words. They always come. As she stood there, she felt it again, the unmistakable sensation of being watched. She swung the flashlight around, her breath quickening, but saw nothing. And then a voice from the shadows. You shouldn't be here. Emily spun around, her flashlight landing on a figure at the edge of the tunnel. It was a woman, her face partially obscured by a scarf. Her eyes burned with intensity, and in her hand she held a knife. Who are you? Emily demanded, her voice shaking. The woman smiled, but it was cold and devoid of warmth. Just a messenger. You've seen too much. Emily's heart pounded. What do you mean? Seen too much of what? The woman stepped closer, her movements deliberate. The tunnels aren't just tunnels. They're a lifeline. System. And you? You've disrupted that. Before Emily could react, the woman lunged, her knife gleaming in the dim light. Emily screamed and stumbled backward, crashing into the shelves behind her. Boxes tumbled to the floor, spilling their contents. Suddenly, a blaring sound filled the basement. Police sirens. The woman froze, her eyes darting toward the trapdoor. She turned and disappeared into the tunnels, her footsteps fading into the darkness. Emily collapsed to the floor, her body trembling. Moments later, officers burst into the basement, their guns drawn. "She was here," Emily gasped. "In the tunnels," she said. "She said we've seen too much." The lead officer helped her to her feet, his face grim. "Whoever she is, she's part of something bigger. We'll find her." But as they escorted Emily out of the house, she couldn't shake the feeling that the woman's words were a promise and a warning. The nightmare wasn't over. It was only just beginning. Chapter 5. The Final Descent. The officers escorted Emily back to the safety of their patrol car, but her mind was far from calm. The woman's words echoed in her ears like a haunting refrain. "You've seen too much." Who was she? What was this network beneath their home? And more importantly, how deep did this conspiracy go? James was waiting for her at the hotel, pacing the floor when she arrived. He ran to her, his face etched with worry. "What happened? Are you okay?" Emily collapsed into his arms, her body trembling. "You was there, James. Woman. In the tunnels." She had a knife and said. "She said we've disrupted something." James pulled back, his face pale. "The police, did they catch her?" Emily shook her head. "She disappeared. Into the tunnels." James clenched his fists, anger simmering beneath his fear. "We can't keep living like this, Sam. We need answers. Real answers." Emily nodded, her resolve hardening. "Then we go back. We go into the tunnels ourselves." The descent. Under the cover of darkness, Emily and James returned to the house. The police had warned them to stay away, but the unanswered questions gnawed at them, refusing to let them rest. Armed with flashlights and the fire of desperation, they descended into the basement, their footsteps heavy against the wooden stairs. The trapdoor loomed before them like a portal to another world. James hesitated, his flashlight beam wavering. "Are you sure about this?" "No," Emily admitted. "But I need to know." They climbed down the rusted ladder into the tunnel, the air growing colder and heavier with each step. The walls were damp, lined with moss and graffiti in languages neither of them recognized. Their footsteps echoed faintly, swallowed by the oppressive darkness. The tunnel stretched on, twisting and turning like a labyrinth. Every so often they passed offshoots, narrow passages that disappeared into the shadows. Emily marked their path with chalk, drawing arrows on the walls to guide them back. "Do you hear that?" James whispered, his voice barely audible. Emily froze, straining her ears. At first, there was nothing but the steady drip of water from the tunnel ceiling. But then faintly she heard it, a low rhythmic sound like a heartbeat reverberating through the stone walls. "Let's keep moving," Emily said, her voice tight. They followed the sound, their anxiety mounting with every step. Eventually, the tunnel opened into a larger chamber. The space was vast, its walls lined with shelves containing old crates, boxes, and rusted tools. In the center of the room was a table covered in maps and photographs. Emily's stomach dropped as she recognized the images. They were of her and James, taken from angles that could only have come from within their house. "This is it," James said, his voice shaking. "This is where they've been watching us." Emily's fingers trembled as she sifted through the papers. Among the photographs were documents, names, addresses, schedules. It wasn't just them. The network had been targeting multiple families in the neighborhood. "We need to take this to the police," James said, stuffing some of the documents into his bag. "This is proof." But before they could move, a sound froze them in place, the unmistakable creak of footsteps on the stone floor. Someone else was in the chamber. Emily and James ducked behind a stack of crates, their flashlights turned off. In the dim glow of the chamber's single flickering light bulb, they saw a group of figures enter the room. There were three of them, dressed in dark clothing, their faces partially obscured by scarves. One of them carried a heavy bag and set it on the table. "The woman knows too much," a deep voice said. "If we don't act now, she'll bring the whole operation down." Emily's heart pounded in her chest. "They're talking about me." "Patience," another voice replied, colder and sharper. "We've dealt with nosy people before. She's no different. If she keeps pushing, she'll disappear like the others." James's grip tightened on her arm. She could feel his silent plea, "Don't move." The group continued their conversation, oblivious to Emily and James's presence. They discussed the network, its purpose, and its scope. It wasn't just a local operation, it was global. The tunnels connected to safe houses, trafficking routes, and hidden chambers across the country. Emily's blood ran cold as she realized the enormity of what they had stumbled upon. Suddenly, one of the figures turned toward their hiding spot, his flashlight sweeping across the room. Emily and James held their breath, their bodies pressed against the cold stone wall. "What was that?" the man said, stepping closer. "Probably just rats," another replied dismissively. "Come on. We've got work to do." The group gathered their materials and left the chamber, their footsteps fading into the distance. Emily and James waited until the silence was absolute before emerging from their hiding spot. "We need to get out of here," James whispered. "Now." The escape. Retracing their steps through the tunnels was agonizing. Every sound, every shadow felt like a threat. Emily's heart raced as she clutched the bag of documents, knowing it was their only lifeline to exposing the truth. When they finally climbed out of the basement, the cool night air hit them like a blessing. They locked the basement door and bolted to their car, their adrenaline propelling them forward. As James started the engine, Emily glanced back at the house. For a moment, she thought she saw a figure watching them from the second-story window, but when she blinked, it was gone. "Drive," she said, her voice trembling. The fallout. The next morning, Emily and James handed the documents to Detective Hayes. His expression darkened as he read through them. This is bigger than we thought," he admitted. "You've just handed us the key to unraveling this network. But we're not safe, are we?" Emily asked, her voice barely above a whisper. Hayes looked at her, his face grim.
"Oh, not yet.
But we'll do everything we can to protect you." As they left the station, Emily couldn't shake the feeling that their lives would never return to normal. The network was vast, its reach terrifying, and its members ruthless. Even with the police involved, she knew they were still in danger. That night, as they lay in their hotel room, Emily stared at the ceiling, unable to sleep. The tunnels might have been exposed, but the people behind them were still out there,
watching,
waiting. And she knew, deep down, that they wouldn't stop until they silenced her, for good.